This morning we're going to be thinking a little bit about some ways in which during this Lent time we might look to deepen our relationship with God. This season of Lent is, as I've already said, an opportunity for us to refocus, to strip away some of those aspects of our life and faith that perhaps are unnecessary, that perhaps are not things which distract us from God, and to focus once again. And I particularly want to think a little bit today, drawing on Jesus' experiences in the desert, to think about the disciplines of solitude and silence in our spiritual lives. Solitude and silence may be aspects of your life of faith that you already sort of participate in or make part of your devotional life or your spiritual life already, in which case I won't be saying anything that you haven't already considered. But there might be some of us for whom these ideas of solitude and silence are things that we perhaps have never even considered as including in our spiritual journey and our spiritual life. Life is, for people of all ages and stages, often full of noise and busyness that has a certain chaos and clamour to it. There are often many different tasks or people with demands on our time. There are many different activities which we might get drawn into. Even church activities, the aim of which is to draw us close to God and to give us space to focus on God, can be so full of commitment and activity and things for us to do and things to prepare and things to turn up to and all that kind of stuff, that actually church can be another aspect of a busy life, which sometimes means we do not get the opportunity to focus as we might want to on God. And so we talk about this idea of solitude as a spiritual discipline as being an opportunity to draw away from all of that noise and clutter and demands and pressures. And one thing that solitude, people often mistake for solitude, is kind of alone time, just time to ourselves, time of privacy. For me, as a kind of essentially an introvert, one of the things that I love to do is to just have a day to myself with nothing else to worry about, nobody else to worry about. But what I do with that time is not practice something like solitude. What I actually do is fill it with other things. Even if I'm not with people, I'll fill it with books or with listening to music or with reading a book whilst listening to music, or I'll watch a film, or I'll have a notebook and doodle things, or I'll play around on my guitar, or I'll read a magazine, or I'll read a magazine about music whilst listening to music. I will find ways of filling that space. And so even though that's time alone, that is not solitude in the spiritual sense. It's possible, and people go through different stages at different times, it's possible that we can be quite lonely, but still not practice solitude in the spiritual sense, that we still fill our lives with distractions and ways of avoiding true solitude. So today what I want to do is to encourage us, and I'm definitely encouraging myself in this as well today, is that by making time and space for meaningful spiritual solitude and silence, even in what might be a busy time of life, that those two disciplines can give us a deeper understanding of God through meditation and through prayer. And at the end of my time of talking, we're going to spend just a few minutes of quiet where we just tiptoe on the edge of those kind of disciplines of silence. And the reason we do this is not just because it seems like a nice idea, or because meditation's one of those things that might let us center ourselves and all those kind of things, and those things are true. But we do it because God, in Jesus Christ, calls us into solitude and calls us into a place of silence. Jesus calls us at times to retreat from the world, even whilst our mission remains to love and to serve the world. Jesus calls us to the desert. In the Old Testament, we see Elijah, after his great victory at Mount Horeb, that he has to retreat. He's burnt out, he's exhausted, he's depressed. And when he runs away from God, he ultimately hears from God in what's described in scriptures as the sheer sound of silence. In his place alone with just himself and God, he meets with God in the sheer sound of silence. Jesus calls us to set aside all that we have when he says to us, "Go and sell all you own, give the money to the poor, and come follow me." That idea of removing ourselves from many worldly demands. Of course, this is possible for us to greater and lesser extents, depending on our family commitments and our other commitments in life. We have to make sense of that for us for today. And of course, during Lent, we particularly remember Jesus's his own very real 40 days in the desert, retreating from the world, focusing on his Father in heaven, wrestling with temptation in order to prepare himself for his incredible ministry, as well as for his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And so at the beginning of Lent, again, we are encouraged in some small way to follow this example. And some of you might already be experts, as I've said, on this kind of discipline and on this kind of backstory of where some of this kind of prayer emerged. But in the early church, a group of men and women who became known as the Desert Fathers and Mothers attempted to emulate something of Jesus' approach to retreat and to prayer. They found that the clutter of their contemporary world and the half-heartedness of some of their Christian peers too much. And so these Desert Fathers and Mothers renounced their worldly goods and headed off out into the deserts of Egypt. In the 3rd century, Desert Father known as Arsenius believed he was told by God to flee, be silent, and pray. And so he did. Some Desert Fathers and Mothers never came back but devoted themselves to a life of prayer. Others returned completely changed and renewed and had amazing ministries of prayer and healing. Others returned and founded monasteries. Others founded schools and hospitals to help and serve the poor. All were utterly changed by their time of solitude and by encountering God's presence. And we see in Jesus' time in the desert that he returns prepared, ready, spiritually, mentally, emotionally equipped for the incredible ministry that was to come. And since then, many have taken up the challenge to retreat, the challenge to take on solitude and silence in their disciplines of prayer. And so what about us? If this is something that applies to us, how might we make sense of it in 2016? Of course, Lent and fasting, the fasting that we do during Lent, are great ways of stripping away the clutter in our lives, in leaning less on those crutches and comforts, on those little rewards that get us through the day and focus us back on Christ. And I think something I'm often tempted to do is that if I remove one sort of crutch or comfort from my life, my temptation is to replace it with something not quite the same, but similar enough that I don't notice the absence of the other. So I'll give up chocolate but take up sweets. Or I'll stop eating crisps, but I'll find something else to nibble on instead. And actually, the discipline is to say, actually, how do we remove those things that we turn to, those little comforts that we turn to, before we turn to God in prayer? And solitude and silence, these two spiritual disciplines we're talking about, are in many ways an extension of these Lent ideals. They're again to do with discarding the clutter and deliberately focusing on Christ. It's worth saying, actually, that in the Gospels in general, but Lent in particular, they're not about giving things up or self-denial for their own sake, as I've already said, but to make room for something new and something wonderful. Like the parable of the man who found treasure in a field, or the merchant who found the pearl of great price and sold all they had to buy them, or like the disciples who left everything to follow God, but were rewarded not just with purpose and meaning, but with the kind of intimacy with Jesus which John was able to share, which we touched on in our Lent liturgy earlier. Fasting, Lent, solitude and silence are not ends in themselves, but gifts. And they're difficult gifts, admittedly, but they are gifts bestowed on us from God to create space for us to increase our awareness of God at work in our lives and in the world, and to become more attuned to what we might be called to be and to do. Rowan Williams suggests that at the Day of Judgment, we won't be asked, why weren't you like Martin Luther King? Why weren't you Mother Teresa? But why weren't you yourself? What God calls us to be is the most fullest version of ourselves. And in the desert, in the life of retreat, in the life of solitude, silence and prayer, we are given the opportunity to discover who that self is, who we're called to be as an individual in relation to God and relation to others. So how do we do that? How do we go about doing it? Here are a couple of practical steps, and this is simply one method, and there would be others who would suggest other ways. The first thing is to simply find ourselves a space, a place, and some time to be with God. To remove distractions. For me, I have to make sure my iPod isn't in the room. Not even a notebook. For me, no radio, no books, no nothing. Just me, naked, spiritually so, vulnerable, weak, before God. Just myself. And of course, in those moments where we sit with nothing to distract us, we will discover how much we need and want those distractions. How much, as we sit, even just for a few moments by myself with nothing to do, I find myself getting twitchy for my phone or for a book or for anything to distract me from that solitude. But no, as it says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. If we're to know God in the solitude, we need to strip away that other stuff. Be still and know God. So find a space and a time. And then as we overcome the urge to do something that distracts us, as we think, oh, I can't check my phone, oh, I can't read my book, oh, I can't watch the TV, I can't listen to the radio. As we overcome that, as we overcome that need for those distractions, we will probably find that other thoughts start to come in. Happy thoughts, I'm sure. Good memories, I'm sure. But also our sins, our anger, our worries, our fears, our lusts. Those things come in as we make space to really be alone. But beyond that, we mustn't run away. Again, what comes in at that point is this, right, I'm not feeling so good about these things. I'll just put the TV on, I'll put the kettle on, I'll do something to distract me from who I am when I'm alone with God. But actually, the experience of Jesus in the desert, the experience of those desert fathers and mothers, is that we must stick on. We must stick in that place of solitude, stick in that place of silence. Allow God to work in those places. Allow God to work in our anger, in our sadness, in our worries. And if we allow God that space, then God will show himself. He will show that in all our flaws, in all our failings, in all our anger, in all our stress, Jesus reaches out and loves us and forgives us and accepts us. John, the disciple we've referred to a few times, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was a flawed character. He was not some perfect human being, some perfect specimen of humanity. He was just like us. And yet God allowed him that intimacy with Jesus. John dared to lean on Jesus. John dared to whisper into Jesus' ear. And what Lent challenges us to do is to dare to do that ourselves. Dare we lean in close to Jesus? Dare we strip away the clutter? Dare we take ourselves to a place of solitude and silence? Do we take ourselves to the desert in the hope of being with God? Solitude with God allows our behaviour to be shaped by the mind of Christ and not by the compulsions and temptations of the world. Silence in God's presence allows God's word to speak to us and avoids us being swamped by a very wordy and distracting world. And in this place of solitude and silence, in this place that God meets with us, it's possible for us to truly pray. And then to pray not with a list of requests and demands, and not out of obligation, but in a heart-to-heart relationship with God. In our unconscious thoughts, in our conscious thoughts, with our reason and our will, as well as with our perception and our impulse. And ultimately, this kind of prayer, as practiced by many over many centuries, might give us a glimpse and the opportunity of a restful heart, even in the midst of a restless existence. For myself, I have to confess that this is a kind of prayer that I've used at times, and it's become an important part of my life at times, but has slipped. And this is one of those opportunities where actually for me I'm thinking, actually if I can make that space and time and to go into that kind of prayer with God, I think that I hope that I will be able to claim something of that back in my relationship with God. And I offer it to you too as one of those ways in which we might know God and know ourselves to be loved by God. It's not a quick fix or a gimmick or a fad. It's something that's been practiced for centuries. It's not something that you just sit down and 2 minutes later you're in a moment of sort of transcendental bliss. It's a practice and a discipline, but it's an opportunity to make space and time for God. It's something we might wish to practice at church. We've talked about some of the ways in which we might use the Wednesday mornings when we have the coffee shop on to have times of prayer. It might be that we use that as a time of prayer. And if that interests you, please do talk to me. It might be something you wish to practice at home, and that's great. Again, I've got some books around the themes. Do talk to me if that's something you would like to look into a bit further. It might be that it's that sort of prayer is absolutely terrifying and the opposite of anything that you would find spiritually enriching. And that too is okay. God has infinite varieties in the ways in which we want and may wish to relate to him. So what we're going to do now is quite simply have 3 or 4 minutes of silence. And we're just going to enjoy that. So it looked like I was telling Nick to be silent. He was going to put a CD on, but I've decided against it. And we're just going to take that as that opportunity to just start the practice of stilling ourselves before God. Just allowing those thoughts that we have, the good thoughts, the bad thoughts, all those different thoughts to come into our mind, but also to give God the opportunity to meet with us in that. To still us, to be with us, and to start to minister to us. Now clearly this is a practice which usually would need more time, and I would encourage you to make more time and space in your week. But we're just going to practice now 3 or 4 minutes of quiet as we give God the opportunity to minister to us. When we allow ourselves to be truly who we are before God, to strip away the clutter, to just be ourselves before God, with all our flaws and our failings, with all those things that we're not so proud of about ourselves, that we try to cover up. When we bring all that before God and realise that in Christ he still loves us with a love that we cannot imagine, that he forgives and has all compassion for us, despite our many flaws. When we realise that, we're getting somewhere close to the heart of silent prayer. And of course, when we realise that in all our flaws and all our failings, that we are truly loved, we return from the solitude and back into the world with different eyes, realising that we are called to love others in the same way that God loves us. And so we pray, Lord God, please meet with us during this Lent time. Please meet with us in our fasting, in our prayers. For those of us for whom solitude and silence could make a real difference, I pray that you would meet with us in those disciplines. For those of us that find other ways of connecting with you and connecting with others, we pray that this would be a fruitful Lent for them as well. pray that we would know you, that we would know your love for us, and that we would share that love with others. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.